Well, stay tuned. Coming up on the Local News Hour this morning, I'm scheduled to talk with the new director of the Utah Office of Outdoor Recreation, Pitt Gruey, talking about his new job and what he hopes to bring to it. Then Park City Summit County Arts Council Executive Director Jocelyn Scudder has a follow-up on Friday's telephonic meeting with art organizations about how they move forward from here. She'll also address concerns from the arts community about the Summit County Council's consideration of using RAP funds for more than they were originally intended for. Finally, Park City Education Association Assistant Director Jen Bello with details about the cancellation of Running with Ed this year. Stay tuned. Good morning. Well, Pitt Gruey has been named as the third and newest director of the Utah Office of Outdoor Recreation. He joins me now on the phone. Good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Pitt.
Well, I am a Utah native. I was born and raised in Cache Valley and grew up in the ski industry. My parents worked in the ski industry, so I spent every weekend on the hill, you know, doing what we all love to do here in Utah and trying to ski as much as possible. And, yeah, always had that passion for the outdoors. My parents helped me to spend as much time as possible outside growing up. So when it came time for me to find a career, I just wanted to spend as much time in the outdoor industry as possible and pursue what I knew.
Okay.
And that led me down this path.
So that's like a pretty perfect job for you then, huh?
Yeah, exactly. I've worked in anything from, you know, resort operations, even, you know, working as managing the lift operators at the Canyons Resort early on in my career, to working in sales and marketing for, you know, some of the bigger brands here in the state of Utah, Petzl and Goal Zero, and then another startup called Bivy.com. So, yeah, I've always been trying to be engaged as much as possible in growing the outdoor industry and being a part of it and helping people to get outside safely and smartly and sustainably. So,
yeah. Now, the Office of Outdoor Recreation was established back in 2013. To do what exactly?
So, it has a few aspects of it that are really important and that we're trying to accomplish. But, you know, what it is the Office of Outdoor Recreation plays an important role here in Utah because we have so many people that are visiting us and recreating and everything else. So, you know, we want to be good stewards of the land and good stewards of people to get out and recreate. So it's to help bring together the industry and land managers and communities and kind of all aspects that go into recreation to make sure we're all working together for the best experience for the users, but also the best experience for our great state, that we all love and we want to keep special and take care of.
So what is your job? I mean, is it a marketing job or is it an event job? I mean,
yeah, so there's a couple of things. Really, we are the center for people to connect from different aspects of the industry. So yes, I am working with industry, outdoor industry brands to make sure that they're represented well here in the state. You know, we are the home to so many great outdoor brands here in the state of Utah, and more moving in every year because they realize what a great place this is for testing and developing product and for recruiting great, you know, talent and staff to work here. So, you know, working with the brands in the outdoor industry, but at the same time, I'm also working with local communities, county commissioners, and land managers to ensure that as people visit and recreate, they are, you know, ready to handle those visitors and have the facilities and the infrastructure in place and everything else. So, you know, it's not just marketing. It's not just, you know, sales or anything like that. It's kind of being the hub for all these different aspects of the industry to come together and to connect. And I'm, you know, my office is working to make sure those connections are made and everybody's working on the same page and kind of moving in the same direction.
Yeah. So anything kind of at the top of your to-do list?
Well, you know, I had all these great plans when I got the position of all these things I wanted to accomplish. And in the current state of affairs, there's a lot of things getting thrown in that are changing plans a little bit. But, you know, my hope is that we can, you know, I am passionate about Utah. I love Utah. I was raised here. You know, what I want to accomplish is to share that with other people and to encourage also our local residents that also love Utah to help be, you know, good stewards of the recreation economy here, to welcome people in, but at the same time also, you know, educate people on what makes Utah so special and why we have such a great resource here with our outdoor recreation and, you know, how we can take care of it and work together to really, you know, grow appreciation for this great resource that we have.
Yeah. I mean, so you've got money then to kind of bring people together. But do you actually have money to create any infrastructure then and so that we can kind of expand, I guess, the opportunities outside of the, you know, the hotbeds, Salt Lake, Park City, you know, Heber Valley, those areas?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's another aspect of what our office does. And it is a really great grant program. And so we have each year we take applications for outdoor recreation infrastructure grants and also outdoor education or outdoor recreation education grants. So we let people apply to, you know, if they have a project in mind or something they're working on to build infrastructure, whether that's trail building projects or whether it's an education program, and nonprofits can apply for this. And what we do is we offer grant money and they can find, and then they find matching dollars as well to match the grant. And we support that up to the tune of about $5 million a year in grants is what we will give out. So, you know, we're really putting our money where our mouth is, I guess, and, you know, supporting these projects to make sure people have the resources to improve the outdoor recreation in our state.
Okay, so somebody's interested in that, they can just kind of Google Utah Office of Outdoor Recreation and find the website?
Yep, exactly. We fall under the office, the Governor's Office of Economic Development, mm-hmm. and so it'll lead you to the website there, and you can learn more about our grant program. You can learn more about all the other aspects of the office and see who our team is and everything else you need to know about the office.
Okay. So are you on the job now or are you like working from home like so many others?
So my first day officially is actually this Wednesday. I got the appointment a few weeks ago for the position. Been wrapping up work with my current employer. I start on Wednesday, but with everything that's going on with COVID-19 and you know, working on programs to support businesses as through the difficult time of the economy, I've kind of unofficially started to make sure that I'm in the know, and I've been learning a lot about this process. And so, and our team works from home majority of the time through this. Yeah, we try to minimize getting together as much as possible to, you know, keep our social distancing and everything else. But, yeah. Typically, I think this isn't the typical way to start a job, I don't think, but I'm learning quickly and kind of rolling with what's going on.
Okay. Hey, Pitt, anything else you'd like to tell our listeners?
No, like I said, I think I would just encourage everybody to check out what we're doing. Check out the grant program. We are wrapping up our application right now for grants for this year. And then we do those applications at the beginning of each year, and we'll be awarding those grants in the next couple months. So check it out, and if you have an interest, or you have that grand plan of something that you want to do to build the outdoor recreation economy in the state, I encourage everybody to learn more about that and make a plan and reach out to my office if you have any questions or anything else.
Okay. Well, again, congratulations, Pitt. We appreciate your time this morning.
Hey, thanks, Leslie.
And Pitt Gruey, the newest director of Utah Office of Outdoor Recreation. You're listening to the Local News Hour here on KPCW. KPCW News Time now, 8:29. Good morning, I'm Leslie Thatcher. It's the KPCW Local News Hour. Well, as we reported, Summit County Council Chair Doug Clyde and Summit County Manager Tom Fisher have submitted a written request to Governor Gary Herbert to use his emergency powers to suspend restrictions on sales tax revenue from the transient room tax, the restaurant tax, and the wrap tax, known as the Recreation and Arts and Parks Tax. If suspended, this could be then used to help soften economic impacts due to the COVID-19 pandemic in Summit County. On the phone to talk about how this could impact local art organizations, I have the Executive Director of the Park City Summit County Arts Council, Jocelyn Scudder. Good morning to you, Jocelyn.
Good morning, Leslie. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so first, let's just get an update. You met remotely with a number of art organization heads on Friday via telephone. What was the purpose of that meeting?
We did. The Arts Council set up a Zoom meeting for all arts and culture organizations to speak about the COVID-19 pandemic specifically. Obviously, as everyone knows, many arts organizations right now are at a pretty alarming halt, as many small businesses are, restaurants. And so we have some industry-specific pain points that we felt as an Arts Council that we could, you know, step in and provide a platform to discuss those pain points and come up with creative solutions together. I think this is a time where we all need to be connected, but also coming together as a sector, collaboration is going to be key to help us pull out of this. As arts organization leaders, we are innovators and we are innately creative and we're passionate. So we brought everyone together, mostly executive directors, program managers, social media managers of our various Summit County art nonprofits together via Zoom on Friday at 1. And we discussed some of those pain points. You know, we talked about how many revenues have come to a halt, those organizations that rely on ticket sales. Speaking to donors, that rhetoric has changed, and we're having to kind of problem solve on how we talk to our supporters, talking about unemployment, talking about how we support some of our gig economy contractors that work in the arts. So we wanted to make sure that we came together and provided that platform for the arts, and we had a very positive and productive meeting with some creative ideas to move forward. Obviously, we're all learning in real time and don't have all the answers, but there were some creative ideas that were put on the table, and we're trying to support each other together.
Sure. Can you talk about some of those creative ideas about moving forward?
Sure. So, you know, many of us, again, I think it's a nerve-wracking time because none of us really know the duration of these impacts. Right now, we are all following suit, as recommended by the Summit County Health Department, that we are staying home and working from home, and facilities will remain closed until May 1st. And I do know that Summit County mentioned that in about 2 weeks they will reassess depending on how the virus is spreading in our communities. So we are all, you know, it's a time of uncertainty, but it's also a time for innovation, and we are all pivoting our models. Many of us are coming up with creative ideas to move our platforms digitally. I know Park City Film has come out with a really fun model where you can still watch some of their films. And if you follow Park City Film and get their newsletters, they tell you exactly how to engage. And you can actually pay to support the film and support Park City Film as well, and support that nonprofit while engaging with an independent film, something that you wouldn't maybe normally find on Netflix or on TV. And then Mountain Town Music is coming up with some fun ideas on how to stream live music, stream live concerts, with many partnerships coming to the table. I know he's been talking to OP Rockwell and Muse PC. And then while I think Kimball Arts Center is doing a lot of virtual classes and moving heavily to an online platform. And so this is just an opportunity for our arts organization to come up with new ideas. Right now, I think many people are noticing that people are turning to the arts more than ever. Obviously, physical health is a paramount initiative right now, but mental health plays into that. And many people are turning to the arts to help them stay sane during this time, stay creatively engaged and inspired. You know, you see on social media all of the inspiring music videos that are coming out, people coming together, creating together. So I think this is a time where the arts can shine, and our local arts economy plays into that. So while we have some creative ideas to move forward, there's going to be a lot more coming out. And the Arts Council, if you follow at PCSE Arts or our homepage, pcsearts.org, we've come out with a social media initiative called Art Connects Us. And we are going to be sharing everything that our local arts organizations are doing digitally to make sure that we are, you know, spreading our net and reaching our community to make sure that they're all feeling connected through the arts.
Okay, so that's going to be on your homepage then?
It'll be mainly on our social media pages. Okay. And so we encourage you to go follow PCSC Arts on Instagram or on Facebook. And we will be resharing anything that our local organizations will be doing. And then we have on our, you know, social media stories, incentives to be creative every day. So it's a great way to stay connected, stay inspired. I know many people have kids at home looking for things to do, and art is a great way to, it's a positive light during this time. So we want to make sure that that message is told, ensure that everyone's staying connected. And so we will be sure to, you know, kind of echo everyone's efforts and showcase the strengths that exists in our creative community right now.
All right. Well, and as we know, all of these art organizations have had to cancel performances or screenings or close down their businesses, and of course, including, you know, the Arts Council's own maker space and sales space. I think I read about $3.6 billion economic impact to art organizations nationwide. Any idea what kind of impact it's having here in Summit County with our art organizations?
Yes. And so we've been working closely with our state agencies, mainly the Utah Cultural Alliance and the Utah Division of Arts and Museums. They kind of hopped on the looking at economic impacts right away, probably starting around mid-March when facilities started to shut down and when arts organizations specifically were being recommended to not host events, gather large groups of people. And actually, what there's a cultural survey going around the state, and the Utah Cultural Alliance is aggregating that information weekly as more organizations and creative businesses submit their individual impacts. And actually, the aggregate losses that were reported as of Friday are over 40 million, and there's over 4,000 jobs in jeopardy in the creative economy, and 658 jobs have been terminated, and that's in Utah. I'm still waiting to get some of those updated survey results, but as of last week, we did have an estimate loss of admissions revenue of, $257,000, and an estimate loss of non-admissions revenue of over $1 million. So that's based on local Summit County data. We had about 14 creative businesses and local organizations participate in this statewide survey. And so we're going to continue to stay on top of those survey results to see if obviously those numbers will change as the duration of time is exceeded. And so, you know, I mean, we've always been talking about the Arts Council has always talked about how the arts are a vital part of our economy. And I think it's going to be a critical element to what helps pull out of this. We don't know exactly what the impacts are. I think it's going to be very different from the recession in 2008, 2009. But we are looking at severe losses and the results are really sobering. And so right now we are working really closely with these state agencies to learn a little bit more about the Federal CARE Act and some of the initiatives that are coming through the federal government to support our local nonprofits. And then also, I know the introduction that you mentioned, I know within our local government, Summit County is looking at some of our hospitality taxes to provide relief. And while we don't know the direction of county council, I know they're just simply exploring options right now. I think there's a lot of direction that could take, and it's very unknown, but we're being positive that it could positively impact our arts nonprofit.
That it could positively, because I think I was hearing that there was some concern that it may be taking away needed funds for art organizations that currently receive that, kind of thinning the pot, if you would.
Yes, of course that is a concern. And so, for example, I know that one of the areas of that hospitality tax is wrap tax, and that is specifically restricted for cultural nonprofits. So I think the amount allocated is $2 million, and that is distributed for Wrap Rec and Wrap Arts. And so while that pool of money is something that we do as our art nonprofits want to be protective of. The last thing that our art nonprofits need is for existing pools of funding that we rely on to be taken away. We've been talking closely with our elected officials at the county level and county staff, to ensure, to advocate for those funds to not be impacted in a negative way. We don't, we personally as an art sector, do not want to see those funds to be thinned, as you said. But I know that the bulk of the conversation seems to be surrounding TRT tax. And if that's the case, I think that there's a lot of interesting solutions to and discussions to be had around the allocation of the TRT funds, specifically the funding. I think there's a 30% that's not distributed to the chamber. And it looks, as I've spoken to elected officials, it looks like while they don't exactly know the direction of this decision, they don't even know if the governor would pass this request. But if that request to loosen restrictions of these hospitality funds were to go forward, we will be at the forefront to make sure that we're advocating for us nonprofits to be in the running for the redistribution of these funds.
Sure. And that $2 million that you do receive through the RAP funding, that's spread among how many organizations? Do you know?
Well, it's hard to say. I do think it fluctuates, but it's usually around 20 arts nonprofits and any art nonprofit that you can think of in community does is a beneficiary. And so we want to make sure that those current beneficiaries, RAP tax is a really important funding mechanism for our arts nonprofits, mainly because it's one of the only local funding mechanisms that's redistributed through the county that's unrestricted. So it can a lot of those funds that are granted can go to operating. There's other positives that could come out of if the governor does unrestrict these funds, we could have a conversation with some of our elected officials and request that all of those restrictions, say we are still able to apply for the same amount of funding, we could request that all of that funding goes to operating. And so this is where we are going to continue to advocate for the importance of to fund arts nonprofits and look for positive avenues to impact nonprofits if that does move forward.
Okay. Any idea when the governor should make a decision on that?
I have no idea. I know, as far as I know, in the letter, the county council was asking for the governor to use his emergency powers to change this. Usually something like that would have to, as far as I know, go through a bill through the legislative session. Obviously, this is the time where a lot of those traditional processes are going out the door as appropriate. And so we don't know the timeline on that, and we are, at least the Arts Council will be staying on top of that conversation with the county to ensure that we're just, keeping a finger on the pulse of it all, because those funds do directly impact arts.
Okay. And as we've been speaking, I noticed a email come in from the Utah Cultural Alliance. They're saying that they will be putting up a cultural sector COVID update with information on Small Business Administration loans every Monday at 3:30. So they've got a webinar happening today, so people can find out more about that.
They do, and I'm glad you brought that up. It's today at 3:30, and if you go to utahculturalalliance.org, you do have to register for the free webinar, and it is going to be focus on the cultural sector, but they are going to dive into SBA loans. I know that many people it's new territory for many people, but it has been noted that these loans can benefit nonprofits, and some of it will be forgivable minus the interest payments. And so we encourage any creative nonprofit that's looking into applying for an SBA loan to join the webinar today at 3:30 at UtahCulturalAlliance.org to learn more. And we also, as an Arts Council, are going to be sending weekly updates to all of our arts and culture organizations to make sure that we are, feeding them information that they might need about SBA loans, about how the Federal CARE Act is going to impact our creative nonprofits. I know that The Senate voted unanimously, I think it was on March 25th, that some of the CARE Act package positively impacts arts funding. It looks like $75 million is going to go to the National Endowment for the Arts and then also to the National Endowment for Humanities. And then that will be redistributed to our state agencies. So, for example, that would go to the Utah Division of Arts and Museums and then be available for grants. So there is funding coming. There's relief coming. We all know that, you know, in government things take time. And so we're not sure of the timeline on this. But we're staying really close to this information, and we are going to be informing our arts nonprofits, you know, the up-to-date information, you know, as we get it. We're all learning in real time here. And are concerned about what's going to happen. But again, our arts nonprofits are the positive light that are going to get us through this. And I feel that I feel that wholeheartedly.
Finally, just a meanwhile, I should say, I mean, how involved is your organization in planning the new arts and culture district? Has that kind of taken a step back for now?
We currently are not very involved in that. It has remained mainly with the city and then the other tenants that will be in residence at the Arts and Culture District. So I know the Kimball Arts Center, Sundance Institute, and Park City have worked really closely up until this point, and I couldn't comment on how they're moving forward with that, with the current state of affairs.
Okay. Anything else, Jocelyn, you wanted to mention?
No, please. Yes, actually. Please support your arts nonprofits during this time. As many people know, nonprofits in general operate on shoestring budgets and you know, don't have a lot of overhead in general. And this is a scary time for everyone. But if you normally are, you know, an arts advocate and donate to your arts nonprofits, but say maybe you do it at year end, think about that all of our arts nonprofits are in need, and just keep them in your mind at this time. And if you have an opportunity to donate, you can actually go to pcsdarts.org, our donate page, and we directly link out to all of our local Summit County arts nonprofits so that you can directly donate to them. You know, we advocate for our local nonprofits, and we hope that you continue to support them during this time.
All right. Jocelyn Scudder is Executive Director of the Park City Summit County Arts Council. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks, Leslie.
Let's see. The Park City Education Foundation has decided to cancel its biggest fundraiser of the year. On the phone to tell us why and how this could impact the foundation for the coming year, I have the Associate Director of Marketing and Communications for the PCEF, Jen Bello. Good morning. So I imagine the decision was not an easy one, but tell us why the foundation decided to cancel this event, which was scheduled for mid-May, rather than simply postpone it.
Right. That is a great question. And there's a lot of moving parts with running with it, as you can imagine. The permitting alone, I think there's, you know, 40 permits we have to pull. So it would have to be moved to the summer. And that traditionally is a time when our audience, you know, parents, students are really just wanting to kind of take a break from school and everything, people, and who knows what the situation is like, going to be like this summer. Another thought was to move it to early fall, but then we start getting close to our Red Apple Gala, which, you know, we hope will still be in place. And also several of the elementary schools are now doing fun runs as their main fundraisers in the fall, and we don't want to have to compete with them. So it's such a great community event. We know people really are going to want to get out and get together, but we just don't know when that will be. And to kind of wait and wait and wait, it actually isn't a great use of our time. And our time is really needed right now to help teachers and students.
Okay, so it's an event that raises about $280,000 a year for the foundation and for the funded programs. How do you make that up?
Well, that's going to be a tough one. It is probably fairly unlikely we will make that up. But what we are asking people to do, if you were going to register for Running With Ed, if you were going to donate, if you were going to fundraise, we are hoping that you will still consider that. And instead of becoming a Running With Ed runner, perhaps give that $90 or $100 to become a Running With Ed donor. And what we've done is expand our Express Grant funds. We've always had an Express Grant fund for kind of last-minute teacher needs. It's been around a $10,000 fund. We're immediately expanding that to $50,000, and we need to raise money for that. And that is because the landscape, as we all know, how many of us are homeschooling our kids at home right now, and teachers are figuring out, you know, how do I teach kids either online or via packet? And we have already seen asks come up. So one teacher at the high school, her kids, she's sending them books in their native language to study social studies. They didn't have those books. It's difficult to do this over online. And so she asked us for a grant to cover the cost of that. And we were really happy to step in and do that. And that is just going to be the first of what we're hearing is our many, many requests. We also know that the principals and the district will ask, but we are asking the community, it seems like everyone is on today, asking the community, it's a tough time, but if you were going to spend that $100 on registration or throwing $150 to, you know, one of your favorite teacher fundraising teams, that you go to pcf4kids.org and instead give that to our Express Grant Fund so we can immediately support teachers and students.
If people don't do that, then does the money get refunded? Are you just going to be reaching out to each of the donors? Or
so refunded, you mean for people who...
Yeah.
We will fund that one way or another if it means going into funding that's already set aside for next year. We'll have to do that. But then what that means when we come back in the fall, if you know, hopefully things will be back to normal, but whenever we're back in the physical buildings and then we come back to fund the things that students love, you know, after school, preschool, elementary visual art, you know, Bright Futures, PC Caps, it just means we'll have had to dip into those funds a little bit to cover the needs right now. And normally we're a much more of a longer term organization, very strategic about what we fund, but we also, we're here to support teachers and students. And right now they need funding right now to deal with this completely changed way of delivering education.
All right. So this Express Grant Fund then, I mean, teachers can then just go online to make a request?
Yeah, all they need to do, they just go to our website and hit the Apply tab. Am I okay? I'm on the phone, so it's hard to know if it's coming through all right.
Yeah.
And there's an And on the apply, they'll see Express Grants, and there's an Express Grant application. It's a super, super simple application. It's our simplest one. And we will try to turn around the approval on that within 24 to 48 hours, and then that money will be available to them. So it is a really much simpler process than our normal granting process, and we are approving things quickly. So it's very easy, and teachers, admin, they can apply as soon as possible.
Okay, that's PCEF, the number 4kids.org. Hey, I also wanted to ask you if the foundation is helping at all with kind of the breakfast and lunch food pickup. I had heard that 1,000 kids are enrolled in the program, but only about 150 meals a day getting picked up. Is the foundation helping to figure out what's going on or how to get the food to where it needs to go?
Right. That's a great question. So the district, the foundation, Christian Center, all the community foundation, we are all working really closely together to reach the families that are eligible for those breakfast and lunches. And the district, I think, is working right now on a plan to try to see if they can get those to the places where there's a good concentration of those folks. We are helping in terms of communication. So with our own outreach through Bright Futures, I know the teachers with Latinos in Action and other groups, it's a lot of communication and outreach. So we're helping the district with that. And I know that the district is working on ways to get those better distributed.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to tell our listeners?
So I just want to also mention our Bright Futures group of kids. So those are that's our college mentoring program. And we have our first class. We've been with them since their sophomore year, their freshman in college. And, of course, this has been a huge blow to their college dreams. They've had to go home. A lot of the money they and their family have saved towards college tuition is now being used to for food and rent, as you can imagine. And so that's another program of ours where we are actually fundraising for tuition assistance to cover that difference. And you can also go on our website, PCEF4kids.org, and click on Bright Futures and donate there if you want to donate specifically to those kiddos.
Okay. Jen, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Leslie.
Again, that's Jen Bello, Associate Director of Communications and Marketing for the Park City Education Foundation. Again, they have announced that they are canceling May's Running with Ed relay event.